Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion. This morning is Sunday, June 24th, 2018. And we are recording today from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. And we will start with our morning prayer from Florence.
This is from page 62 of the Blue Book. May the divine light of Christian Science, which lighteth every enlightened thought, illumine my faith and understanding, exclude all darkness and doubt, signal the perfect faith wherein to walk, the perfect principle whereby to demonstrate the perfect man and perfect law of God.
Thank you. And then miscellaneous writings, Mary Baker Eddy. We today in this classroom are enough to convert the world if we are of one mind, for then the whole world will feel the influence of this mind, as when the earth was without form, and mind spake, and form appeared. Today I'm going to begin with a couple of things before we get into the lesson. The first is, Elsie alerted us to the fact she got mistakenly mailed a June full text. So please double check, those of you who get the full text, and make sure you have the right copy. Our motto here is check, check, and double check, so we apologize if anyone got the wrong full text, and we will send you one right away. The other is, I got a phone call from someone I heard from once before. She was the one who had so eloquently spoken in behalf of the 1910 Science and Health, the edition that Mrs. Eddy approved before she passed on, before changes were made by the BOD. And she was the one that said she would never read from any other book beside that one. And that is the one that we also sell and definitely endorse as the correct one. She called again to say that she wanted to contribute money to our church for the website. She said that she couldn't look at it one more time without being grateful for it and expressing that gratitude with sending money and a donation. And she also said something very true and very interesting. She said that Christ Jesus, what he said, freely ye have received, freely give. She said people consider that as some kind of a command, but she saw it differently. And in truth, if you have really received, you cannot help but give. It is part of truly receiving. And then she made the point, so if you haven't truly received and you're not giving, does anyone know what that means that you are?
Ungrateful.
Yes.
A thief.
Yes.
Selfish.
Yes. All of those things. But she used the words, you're a taker. Right? You take. And you haven't really gotten the concept of receiving. Because in our church, I mean, and she was going on about how it's amazing how much we give. It is true. We can't help it. It just pours out of us. But that's because we've truly received. They go together. So if you find yourself just on the taking end, then you can identify with all those lovely qualities of selfishness and gratitude, taking, stealing. And I'm not...
Yeah, this is not condemning.
Exactly.
This is just
thank
calling
you.
A spade a spade.
Yes, this is not condemning.
Just acknowledge where you are.
That's it. And maybe strive to do better. Because who always wants to be a taker? And I'm sure that you've met them when, you know, in the practice, if someone is just always taking and not interested in giving back, well, they don't last long. And they also don't get much in the way of healing. So it was a very perceptive thing that she said. She's called me twice now, and both times she's been very perceptive, and I'm grateful for that. She hasn't ever given me her name, so that's okay. All right. And then next we will go to the watching point, Linda.
Watch number 462. Watch lest you complain when God calls upon you for a test of true loyalty. A dog is trained by giving a bit of food as a reward each time he obeys. The day comes when he is required to obey without rewards. The time comes when God requires our obedience from sheer love of good, even if we get no human harmony as a reward. It is a simple matter to want to obey God and watch thought when rewards in human health, harmony, and prosperity are promised. But Mrs. Eddy once asked the searching question, found in Christian Science Journal, page 56, volume 5. Quote, are Christian scientists as faithful as the seasons, birds, and flowers? Will they sing in the storm? If buds of hope disclose scarcely one blossom and birds are silent, will they yet wait and work? End quote.
Thank you. That's beautiful and so important because I hear it. Oh, I used to get healings came so easily in the past. What's the matter now? You're required to grow. And the lambs come under what? Excuse me, not the lambs, the sheep.
Sheep under the rod.
They come under the rod. You're being tested. Are you really faithful to this science? Or are you just in it for the reward? Again, taking. Taking, taking, taking. How much have you given?
And ask yourself, is it satisfying to be a taker? Where is the satisfaction? Where is the feeling that your life has purpose?
From God.
Isn't it in giving? What's the most noble thing you can give?
Yourself?
Your knowledge of God. Yeah. So it's for our own good that we pursue this change of pace, as Mrs. Eddy calls it.
And most of you will admit those quick healings left you just in the same place before you had the healing. You haven't really grown or changed, committed yourself to the Father. So there comes a point where you just can't do that anymore, and to whine over it does not help. And this is where we're going up a path, and no one ever said it was the path of roses. So sometimes the mountain is steep. You have to keep walking, trusting.
Does Mrs. Eddy say with bleeding footsteps?
Yes, sometimes with bleeding footsteps. So that was a wonderful watching point, and I hope that you are taking note of them each week. Okay, our subject today is Christian Science, the Golden Text, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. We have a tremendous gift in this science, and today we're going to talk about a number of things. First, I'm going to talk about what was in our watch message last night, which was from the, I guess it's, I will say Smilly. I'll make a decision, it's Smilly. The Smilly book. And this is all to do with Christian Science, It all goes with the lesson, and after a bit, we'll go back directly to the lesson, in some of your very good forum contributions. This book is In Defense of Mary Baker Eddy and Her Remnant Seed by Paul R. Smillie. Linda brought it to my attention a while ago. Smillie, during the 80s, early 90s, wrote letters, I guess you could say, to the field, working to wake them up, counteracting all the negative talk about Mrs. Eddy. And we received them in our church and were quite aware of what was going on then and are now still. The reason I'm bringing up any of this is not, again, we're not into condemning or saying, oh, isn't this awful? But in order to heal situations, you have to know what they are, don't you? Ignorance is not bliss. There's a lot of ignorance that's going on, which is why things are in the state that they are in. People prefer not to know. So one of the first things is the cover of his book is very similar to the original Sentinel cover, which was very beautiful and stately. And my prayer is, and I'm still working on this, to get our Love is a Liberator cover more in line with this. I guess it can't be exact, right, because it's copyrighted, or I don't know. We don't want any more locks. Yes. And what we have is to some degree inspired by it. That's why we list the articles on the cover and have that more of a stately look. And so one of the first things that this book says, Melly says, in the Christian Science Sentinel of September 6, 1913, on page 10, Archibald McLellan stated three most important points about the cover of the Sentinel, and a minor change made at that time on its cover. Speaking of this change, he said, beyond this, there can be neither desire nor occasion for change in the Sentinel because, he said, Mrs. Eddy's instructions forbid any change. Isn't that interesting? Hmm. Now, I had to go online and look up the cover, but I strongly suspected it was not the way it once looked. And is it?
No.
Not even close. He explained this by saying, quote, Mrs. Eddy likewise gave instructions, end quote. Her word instructions is most important. Speaking then of the two women, the lamps, and the inscriptions beneath them, he said they had been preserved as expressive of our leader's thought. Mrs. Eddy requested that the cover of the Sentinel be light blue in color. I found that very enlightening. So, we'll do what we can. I mean, if they don't want it, why can't we have it? All right. Then next. What Mary Baker Eddy said to Arthur Brisbane. Quote, the halting and dissipating of the Christian Science cause was apparently what its enemies desired, but they sought to accomplish their ends by traducing the leader. If she fell, her church might hardly be expected to prosper thereafter. End quote. This volume, In Defense of Mary Baker Eddy and the Remnant of Her Seed, is a collection of most of the articles written and distributed by Paul R. Smillie between 1985 and 1991 through his foundation, the Gethsemane Foundation, which my understanding is no longer. As the slander increased, a voice in defense of Mary Baker Eddy had to be heard. Slanted views of statements and events concerning our leader, incorrect views of her in some biographies and periodical articles had to be addressed. Paul's words penned then are still applicable today as the era directed at our leader and her remnant. Who's the remnant?
Us.
Yes. Has continued to grow. and has found more ways to strengthen the curse on man. And then, the red dragon seeks to devour us with deception. The following seven specific suggestions of the red dragon. It would take her crown and place it symbolically upon its own argument, its seven heads. These arguments counterfeit the seven synonyms of God. Number one, Mary Baker Eddy is not the revelator. Accordingly, she is not the leader. Number two, Mrs. Eddy did not fulfill Bible prophecy. Number three, the human consciousness, the second degree, is not God bestowed. Hence, God does not know Mrs. Eddy. Four, anyone could have discovered Christian Science and written Science and Health. Mrs. Eddy was no better than you or I. Number five, to love and actively support Mrs. Eddy is personality worship and deification based in emotionalism. Number six, Mary Baker Eddy made many mistakes. Number seven, Mrs. Eddy is irrelevant. All we need is the pure science. Mrs. Eddy states, quote, this mortal material concept was never a creator, although as a serpent it claimed to originate in the name of the Lord or good, original evil, in retrospection, end quote. Its most devilish aspect is to appear to communicate godlike statements and assure us that its intellectual arguments are correct, but which end up being human philosophy. Mrs. Eddy says, quote, although presenting the exact opposite of truth, the lie claims to be truth, end quote, Science and Health. And, quote, it was not against evil, but against knowing evil that God forewarned, end quote. Selene. Christian scientists are warned against knowing and thinking and accepting the seven irreverent lies about our leader. Defining the operation of these lies, she says, quote, that man can break the forever law of infinite love was and is the serpent's biggest lie, end quote. Delaney. In Jesus' day, the devil spoke out and said, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? And mortals crucified him. Today, the red dragon roars out against the woman and seeks to crucify her in the hearts and minds of Christian Science. Now, most of you don't feel that way, I know, but there is a growing number, which is, again, why the movement is going down the tube so quickly, maybe even more quickly than we can realize. This book also, it slams to pieces the Peel books, his three books, which are considered the authorized version. I love it. It's so refreshing because I told you as a young girl I read those books and it made me sick. It made me sick because they humanized Mrs. Eddy. And at that point, I didn't know what I thought about Mrs. Eddy. I was forming my opinion and it made me not like her. Just what this is saying here, it made me not like her. It darkened my thought because it humanized her. And here is just one example of Peel. He gives many. I would say every page has examples. Okay, so this is quoting Peel. Attired rather magnificently, and then Smilly puts in parentheses, not graciously or appropriately dressed as the leader of the worldwide movement, and Peel goes on, in a dress that had been chosen for her by Augustus Stetson, with one of the fashionable little bonnets for which she had a feminine weakness, end quote. And then Smilly says, all women wore bonnets in those days. Did Jesus have a masculine weakness for a seamless robe? But you see the innuendos, the what, and even referring to Augustus Stetson, which we have Royce on here today, and she will eloquently speak in behalf of Augusta Stetson. But many people thought Augusta Stetson had gone off the path. So he speaks about Carpenter in derogatory terms, page after page. So you think of all the people that read this and get poisoned by it. And Mrs. Eddy, as our leader, as the woman in the apocalypse, gets more and more tarnished. We had it in our Liberator. You know, we had Mrs. Eddy, the woman in the apocalypse. We also combated New Age. All these things need to be combated. They need to be worked on daily in your watch, not just occasionally, but daily. We must see and acknowledge and know that everyone acknowledges who and what she is as the Revelator, as the woman in the apocalypse, and we must not fail in this work. According to Smilly, he says it's why there's not the healing that's going on. Go ahead, who was going to speak?
I was. This is so important because I remember when I was struggling in the very beginnings of my study in Christian Science, those three books were the ones recommended as what would help me understand Mrs. Eddy. I mean...
You're right. And so we can get on our knees and thank God for the Carpenters and their books and their correct understanding of Mrs. Eddy's life. And think of it. These books by Smilly... Gary was called by David Keeston to let us know these books were on the way to the dump, while Peel's books are the authorized ones.
They're quoted from often.
They're quoted from often.
And can I add one thing? I came from the COD, Christian Science. I've been in it for like 50 years, but the last five probably... not involved with the VOD, but the point is, I never read the Peel books. But when I read this Smilly book, everything in there countered these thoughts that I had picked up. And where did I pick those up? So just because you didn't read the books doesn't mean it didn't poison your thoughts. And it all needs to be cleansed. And I'm telling you, when you read that, it's shocking how many subtle things that you picked up over the years about Mrs. Eddy that really humanized her and made you not have the appropriate thought about her. And
love her.
So just because you haven't read it, you don't have the thought.
It goes hand in hand with being able to practice Christian Science.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't. It's impossible to practice Christian Science without having a deep reverence and respect for what Mrs. Eddy did and her position in Bible prophecy.
Well, I was not raised as they, most people know, in the Christian Church. But I became interested in it, and I wanted to join a church. And then I was told, if I was to become a member of that branch church, that I could not revere Mrs. Eddy. And we tried to put a picture of her
in our Sunday school.
And they
told us to take it down because we were worshiping her, and there was no worshiping, I can tell you that.
Well, see, this is the human mind accusing you of what the mind is guilty of, right? The human mind humanizes and quote, worships, idolizes, whatever, in a human way. That's not what you were doing.
No, not at all.
And that's not what any true Christian Scientist would ever dream of doing. So it shows that whoever's told you couldn't is not a practicing Christian Scientist.
That's always the argument. That's why they blew up the pyramid at Bo, where Burr's place is. It's probably why they got rid of Pleasant View. It's always, we don't want to idolize her and worship her. Well, the human mind does, but a true Christian Scientist who really understands her place and is grateful for it could not possibly do it. And that is one of the seven specific suggestions of the Red Dragon. that to love and actively support Mrs. Eddy is personally worshiping and deifying her based on emotionalism. And she didn't like that. Who would? Yes, we are admonished not to do that, and we should not. No one is saying you should.
But it would seem like a natural thing in a Sunday school to show the kids, this is who we're talking about.
One little picture.
Yeah. Well, and what happens is when people are not living the science, you end up just with all the symbols and the pictures and nothing more than that. And, of course, that is equally wrong. That's not right. We're not advocating that. Make no mistake of that. That's what they've done. That they did to Jesus. You know, you just walk around with crosses or a picture of him with a halo over his head, and you don't have any idea of what he is or what he stands for. So.
Yeah, but that's it's interesting that even that somehow is allowed. But then,
that's true.
You know, don't show woman. You know, Mrs. Eddy. There's something there, I feel.
I think they wanted worship of the BOD instead.
Of course they do.
Well, yeah.
I read also that their intention was to move her out of the place because it would make it more appealing to the public.
Yes. Yes, well, you see, they give you this warped picture of her, and then everybody's embarrassed, and so let's get rid of her. We don't understand why she did all these weird things and said these weird things, and so let's, you know, we don't want to have anything to do with her. While Carpenter explains it all clearly, and in that explanation enables you to demonstrate the science yourself. The example is needed. In her message of 1902, Mrs. Eddy says, "The ignoble conduct of his disciples, Jesus' disciples, ended in the downfall of genuine Christianity." These points have to be made, and they have to be made perhaps often, because dear Smiley did it, and you know, if it weren't for our church and us getting it, I don't know whether anybody else has ever heard of him or what he was doing, and here his books are on the way to the dump, for God's sakes. So, as some of you know, I had been wondering, why in the world happened? What happened to Germany that World War II broke out? And especially after Francis Thurber Seale had been there and done such incredible healing work, although...
And a lot of churches started.
Many churches started, although we did, through one of the Oaks books, find out that her work and what she did was not appreciated, again, by the BOD. But Millie offers this, which I will have Gary read about it. I can find it here. About what he feels happened to at World War II. Did anyone want to say anything? Anyone else want to say anything before we go on to this one?
Well, I did want to say, as far as that one point of the Red Dragon, as far as anybody could have wrote it, I think for most of my life, I knew all the things I was reading were not what I was looking for. And, you know, I would write things down, but I was nowhere close to that, and I was only getting further away. So I know, for me personally, I could not have written
them. Well, who could have? And anyone who appreciates it realizes it is not of this earthly world. It was given by God. And anyone who dreams that they could is having quite a dream.
Well, they're plagiarizing her stuff when they do it.
Yes, they are. Well, okay, Gary's going to read what Kelly says about World War II.
Wait, just a second. I wanted to say one thing. I know his sister, and it is pronounced Smiley, even though it is spelled.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, great. Smiley.
I knew someone would tell me. I've gone back and forth, and so, okay, Smiley. Thank you very much, Roy. Smiley, I stand for everyone.
It sounds good.
All right. Okay. So anyway, he talks first about Bliss Knapp's experience related here shows the result of this claim of original sin, the Adamic thought operating in the movement over half a century. He wrote, in January of 1929, I discerned mentally the gathering opposition to Mrs. Eddy. At that time, he was in Germany. So I wrote the board of directors asking them to have retrospection and introspection translated into the same six languages into which rudimental divine science and knowing yes had been translated. Because already in Germany, a play and two books were ready to be launched against Mrs. Eddy. When I reached home, I learned that the directors had granted my request and had turned the work over to Mr. Harry I. Hunt, the publisher of Mrs. Eddy's writings. From that time, I kept in touch with Mr. Hunt. And after 2 years, I began to discover a great opposition to these translations, expressed in all sorts of blockades and interferences. One day, Mr. Hunt confessed to me there was apparently more opposition to Mrs. Eddy's own statement about herself than to anything else in our movement.
Meaning retrospection and introspection.
But he kept assuring me of progress in spite of blockades, until finally, one by one, the translations of retrospection and introspection began to appear. But the German translation, which was the most urgent of all, was the last to appear. And it came out only last September, 5.5 years after the work was started. Any student of history can tell you what was going on in Germany at that time, the rise of Nazism and Hitler. Do you remember what he was called? Mein Führer, which means my leader. Mussolini was called Il Duce, the leader. But false leadership could have had no power except that it built upon the latent hatred in mortal mind, the Red Dragon, for the true leader, Mary Baker Eddy. If Christian scientists had handled this hatred, and the Mother Church had sent retrospection and introspection into Germany when requested by Bliss Knapp, Hitler's rise to power could have been thwarted. But the Mother Church allowed the hatred for Mrs. Eddy to continue unhandled. World War II was to start very soon. First Europe, then the entire world was encompassed in bloodshed. Do you think it was important to handle the hatred for Mrs. Eddy? Do you think it needs to be handled now, today? The lie must be met now, or plagues, economic collapse, war, and invasion will result. It can happen here. Worldwide problems increase because the Red Dragon's hatred of the woman goes unchecked. Mary Baker Eddy has revealed the science of Christianity. Male egotism is furious. It cannot gain the heights of demonstration through this science as she did. Does it attack the science? No, it attacks the revelator. It attempts to pull her down, minimizes her accomplishments and importance, and thus tries to approximate her luster. The Jewish people, after they rejected our Lord, were destroyed by the Romans. The nation of Judah went into captivity for not listening to Jeremiah and Ezekiel. The Egyptians suffered plagues for resisting Moses. Rejection of Elijah brought drought and famine to the entire nation. We forfeit the influence of divine love as a nation and as a church when we reject God's messenger. Who do we think we are that we can reject God's representative and escape the punishment for this original sin?
Sobering. And then, he goes on later, just as we saw the danger go in Germany as the result of resisting Mrs. Eddy's place, so we subsequently saw but the official stand of the Mother Church in publishing, because evidently at one point they published the 6 points in recognition of her fulfillment of Bible prophecy produced. When these 6 points were published in the June 5th, 1943 Sentinel, interesting, there were 6 major turning points in World War II, which favored the Allies, who until that point were losing the war. The truth about these points was seen prior to this time, but it had no great effect on the world until the official position of the Christian Science Board of Directors concerning this issue was declared and published. Now, if anyone else can give me a better explanation of what was going on in Germany, I would love to hear it. So far, this makes sense to me, as well as other things that we've gathered. Now, I know that, and Royce knows more about this than I do, you know, they're suing. I hate to call it the Mother Church, I call it the BOD. They're suing them, and other things are going on right now. And I'm sure that perhaps all of this is part of it to get them to turn around on their position. So, in the meantime, we have so much to do here. We focus on what we're doing here with our watches and our work. If that is God's plan, that they do make turn it around in some way, then it will happen. We want, of course, God's plan. But what I see is it's going, and that it has no legitimate basis to exist, the BOD.
Therefore, let the dead bury God.
Then God's will be done.
God's will be done, whatever that is. And in the meantime, we have been given something very, very tremendous with all these wonderful books and the people that come and what they share with us. I'm so very grateful because it's an enlightening. And we had no idea what happened with this church or where it was going. And we still don't. We take it a day or a week at a time. And God is directing every step. He better be. So, any comments on that before we go to the lesson?
Yes. The other controversial thing, which is the destiny of the Mother Church by Bliss Knapp, has specifically three chapters that I would highly recommend because he provides a prophecy and antidotes to this false concept of Mrs. Eddy and there the woman, which is chapter 12. Ironically, in the book, well, not so ironically, how divinity reaches humanity and prophecy. And he goes from Genesis to Revelation and through her writings and stuff and gives all these citations that really back up everything that he says, in my opinion.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, because he first printed that in the early 40s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then what they must have done, then they reneged and changed, and now they don't support it. I'm not sure they ever really did. They only said they did because they wanted the money.
Yeah.
So, and as Mike said last week, you know, it's become a big real estate agent, the BOD. And we were in New England past week and spoke to someone. I mentioned him before. We've spoken to him before. He worked at the publishing company for 40 years, and he's no longer part of it because he also sees what's going on. But he has said that the DOD, the way how ambitious they are, and of course, human ambition has no place in science, and all the other things. He also told me, I was sad to hear this, that actually it is the original church that is sinking the worst. That's the one that's going. Some of the walls of plasters come down, and they buy these expensive, heavy clarion bells that is aiding in the sinking of it?
Yeah, the BOD had church bells built, and they installed them in the steeple at the original Mother Church, and it was never designed to be able to hold heavy bells. So it's now leaning.
I don't know. If you can tell me a few things they've done right, I'd be very happy to hear it. But I don't know of anything. He also said the monitor, which he worked for, you know, is in total disarray. And there's such a need for that right now. He said the BOD, they now make $300,000 a year. And each. And that Mrs. Eddy somewhere said, you were never to name anything after me. So we have the Mary Baker Eddy Library. And he sent us something showing, I don't know, they're doing some, what is it?
Well, and now that the Mary Baker Eddy Library is sponsoring non-Christian Science activities.
They are.
They're sponsoring a program for children called One World. Where have we heard that before? Mm-hmm. Communist Manifesto.
So, again, it gives us no great pleasure to tell you these things, but you have to know what's going on. Ignorance has gotten us nowhere. Ignorance is not bliss. So, and we have to be, I've been telling people, to prepare themselves for what's to come.
Again, speaking of bliss, I do have to say one thing is that I read the Destiny of the Mother Church many years ago for the first time and was very impressed with it, learned a lot from it. But ever since being at Plainfield and lessons and discussions like this, I hadn't read it in maybe 4 or 5 years. When I reread it again this past winter, it was amazing to me how much I had missed in there. And there's so much in there that, you know, I just, again, I think what Linda had said, it's, even if you weren't directly under the reading the Peel books, that taint affects one's understanding to quite a degree, and it's really good to break out of that false thought process with a real thought process.
Thank you. And that's what these books do. Those who really knew her, you have a right concept of her. So we will press on with this work with joy and gratitude and most dedication. So, Florence, Isaiah 54, I'd like you to talk about or what you wrote on the forum that was very beautiful.
May I ask a question right quick? If we're not supposed to name anything after Mary Baker Eddy, should the Mary Baker Eddy Science Institute be called that as well?
Well, I don't. That's a good question. I'm not sure where this was given. Someone quoted this to me, and I don't know whether I've ever read that quote, but I trust him, this fellow. But probably.
I've read it too somewhere, but I don't know where.
Okay.
Let's follow that up. Why would she say something like that?
Yeah.
To not humanize or materialize.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And also, who knows what that organization is going to become, as in the Mary Baker Eddy Library. She knew that it would get convoluted and changed. She knew that, and she didn't want her name on that, even if it started out right. She knew it.
She knew what the human mind would do, and she wanted to forestall.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the board has taken her signature and uses it as if it had authority. They'll stamp her signature on things as if she said it.
True.
That's true.
The other thing is that a library is for disseminating information, not hiding it, which the Mary Baker Eddy Library.
Oh, yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, Florence, sorry.
Okay. Yeah, Isaiah 54:5 is still here. For thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. Now, there's a beautiful commentary from Spurgeon, again, which says, oh, what a blessing that is. This is a widespread mercy. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. Sorry. My soul, come and hide beneath the shadow of these earth-covering wings, for there is room for thee beneath their welcome shelter. And once there,
thou shalt not be banished from the sacred spot, for it is written, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Thy maker is thine husband. United to thee in eternal wedlock, therefore be of good comfort. And I just wrote that this is comforting indeed. The forever unity affords a beautiful sense of security in an unfailing source.
Thank you. And also in the Amplified version at the bottom, it says, Amplified version of the Bible, although this chapter is primarily intended to express Zion's joy over redemption, it also has a very personal, long-neglected, and often overlooked message for women, the lonely, the disappointed, the childless, the widow. It has all the glorious confidence and assurance, the incentive and understanding for which feminine hearts have longed throughout the ages. And then it suggested, if you're feeling that way, for any reason, to read this chapter once a week and to let it just renew your heart and your soul. And it's not just women at all to know that we are wedded. We are that close to our Maker. And none of us are ever alone, because that is so often the fear of being left alone. And it needs to be handled always. We are never alone. But our Maker is with us ever. Ever present. And I love in the lesson, Mrs. Eddy talks about the apodictical principle points to the revelation of Emmanuel, God with us, the sovereign ever present, delivering the children of men from every ill that flesh is heir to. Think of that. I think of it often. Emmanuel, God with us, God with me. And then Parthens addressing the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I've often wondered, you know, what that meant. She talks about sin and sickness are both healed by the same principle. And the tree is typical of man's divine principle, which was equal to every emergency. And he goes on, the material world handles emergencies by supplying material shelter, clothing, food, medicine. Christian Science continually turns me to Christ's Sermon on the Mount to explain how all such needs are added to me as I seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first, above all. And all these necessities have their spiritual counterpoint. For example, shelter. We are clothed with our house which is in heaven, 2 Corinthians. Clothing, the robe of science and health, food, the fruit of the tree of life in limitless supply, Revelation and Ezekiel, medicine, the leaves of the tree of life in limitless supply, Ezekiel and Revelation. And then bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Think of what science gives us. Just be grateful for it every day, Christian Science, and what Mrs. Eddy suffered to give it to us. And then in Revelation, interpreted by Kratzer, he says about the leaves of the tree, and I perceive the stream of divine ideas flowing from God to man, giving to man that knowledge of God which is life eternal. Omnipresent in the immaterial city is mind, which always gives forth every kind of good and true ideas. And these ideas cleanse and heal the nations of men. Every time you think a right thought, every time you get into this science, you're cleansing and healing the nation. These are the leaves falling down amongst us. And then, see, I'll have Bruce, I want Bruce to read what Linda wrote to end our meeting today.
The Sermon on the Mount is the essence of this science, and the eternal life, not the death of Jesus, is its outcome, science and health. Following are the tenets in the early 1880s, and the first ever imprint of the Church of Christ Scientists. penance and covenant. Second, we rest our hope and faith on God, the only life, truth, and love, depending for salvation not on the person of God, but on the understanding of the principle or spirit that is God, and the demonstration of this spirit or principle, according to those commands of our Master, quote, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, and these signs shall follow them that believe, understand. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Third, and we solemnly covenant to faithfully obey the Ten Commandments, to walk worthy of our high calling, to deal justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God, to abhor a lie, to love truth, to do good to man, to have but one God, and to strive habitually to reach that higher understanding of Christian Science contained in the Sermon on the Mount, whereby to cast out error and heal the sick. Reminiscences of Mary Baker Eddy by Miss Julie S. Bartlett, from Miscellaneous Documents Relating to Christian Science, compiled by Gilbert Carpenter. The final 1910 version of the Six Tenets can be found in Science and Health, page 497, last, which is below. And we solemnly promise to watch and pray for that mind to be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, and to be merciful, just, and pure. Mrs. Eddy writes in the message for 1901, quote, "To my sense, the Sermon on the Mount, read each Sunday without comment and obeyed throughout the week, would be enough for Christian practice. The Word of God is a powerful preacher, and it is not too spiritual to be practical, nor too transcendental to be heard and understood."
Thank you. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.